It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live, sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
All right, members, friends, and players, good afternoon, and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart, and I'll be here as your host this afternoon and every Friday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Fox Sports, 920 AM. You can also stream us at 920thejersey.com. Don't forget those smartphones and those tune-in apps. You can hear us there, too. And you know, everybody, I love social media. It's at KJPGA. We're there on Instagram and Twitter. And I love getting your messages all week long with suggestions for the show and anything else that inspires you or engages you with what we're discussing on a weekly basis. And big hello to Al.
And a big hello right back to you, Keith.
Cross for me at the board.
Here I am.
And,
I want to know why you're under pressure this week.
So, yes, thank you, Al, for that beautiful transition.
Nice setup.
I teed it up.
I did, didn't
I? Pardon the pun.
Okay.
So, under pressure, no, that was not Vanilla Ice. That was David Bowie with a little Queen in there. Under pressure because this week's show is about the U.S. Open. And the Golf U.S. Open is being played next week out at venerable Shinnecock Hills Golf Club out on the east end of Long Island. And that is what the professional golfers will say is one of the biggest and most pressure-packed tournaments of the year.
Is it really?
After all, it is our national championship. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd throw in a little under pressure there. You know, the opening line there is pressure pushing down on me, pressing down on you, no man asked for, under pressure that brings a building down. Well, there's going to be someone that's going to feel the weight of that pressure come Sunday afternoon, and there's going to be someone that handles it. And we can't wait to see what's going to happen about 8 days from now when the U.S. Open comes to a completion. But for right now, we're just going to speculate, and we're going to talk about the U.S. Open in our first segment today. And then when we come back in the after our commercial break, we're going to talk to Mike Trostel, who is the historian at the United States Golf Association, okay, the national group that is hosting the U.S. Open at Shinnecock next week.
Fantastic.
And I talked to Mike earlier this week, and I'm super excited to introduce him to our listeners. He's got so many good stories. I go back and forth with him, and he's kind of like, as the historian of the USGA, I think he's like the Indiana Jones of golf. Al, right?
Yeah.
He's out there constantly looking for these treasures, and they have this great museum up there at Far Hills in New Jersey at the USGA national headquarters. And Mike and his team, they do a tremendous job putting this museum together. And we're going to get into a little bit of what he does and a lot about Shinnecock next week. But for right now, we're going to go with what's going on today and what's going on today in the community here at Princeton. And let's talk a little bit about this week here at Springdale.
All right.
Sound good, Al?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Rolling right along.
You bet.
So this week at Springdale, we just wrapped up. Everyone remembers Molly Marcoux last week. Fantastic guest. We thank her again for being on here. And it was Prince's Reunions weekend. Awesome, awesome show last week. Awesome time this past weekend having all the orange and black in town. And then we went right into graduation from Princeton, class of 2018 this week. And it's member guest week at Springdale. Al.
And what's that involved?
And what that involves is that it's our premier member guest outings for both men and women at the club. So we're having our men's 77th Springdale Invitational as we speak.
Wow.
I mean, literally, there's 100 players out on the golf course right now, and I guess they think I'm there. I'm not sure.
You're there in spirit, or you're there with their radios, and they're listening live right now.
They are.
Yeah.
Well, the radio's on in the clubhouse, so they can hear me.
Okay.
I guess they could tweet me if they needed me.
They could do that.
But we're super excited about having our 3-day member guest. We had awesome, awesome day yesterday. It was a great party. We had the qualifying round, and Oakley was our huge sponsors. They were giving out sunglasses and clothing, and they had a DJ there. Just a tremendous job by their team, putting on a great show. And then the team at the club had a great party last night. We had some contests. Congratulations to all our winners. But they're out there right now competing, 100 men. In the three-day member guest, today's the middle day, and then tomorrow will be the finals and a big party tomorrow night. Then we'll take a little break on Sunday, and then we'll come back on Tuesday with the women's member guest. Hmm. And the ladies' member guest, every year, Al, they have a theme. And this year's theme is Pretty in Pink.
All right.
So we need to make sure that all my Springdale listeners out there that are playing on Tuesday, that they come adorned in their shades of pink for the big member guest. I love it when last year it was Orange is the New Black, which was very apropos for Princeton. And everyone in the field, you know, had like 60 or 70 ladies in the field. They were all wearing their orange and black, which I thought was really, really cool. We took a picture of everybody. So right. This year, I'm looking forward to this huge pink picture.
Now, how do they develop the theme? Are you involved with that, or is it the ladies that do that?
The ladies have a committee, and they develop a different theme every year. Okay. We've gone from safaris to... shades of green, you know, like Breakfast at Tiffany's. We've done...
I just hope they don't do shades of gray.
So, moving right along. We're very excited about Member Guest Week at the club.
Yes, we are.
We get these two major events out and on display for the members within just a very short period. The golf course is just in unbelievable shape, thanks to Kevin Brewer and his team. Of course, my other counterparts, our club manager, Donna DiLorenzo, and then, of course, our executive chef, Mr. Corey Pano, who feeds us all. So, thanks so much to my fellow managers. It's going to be a great week. It is a great week, and we're right in the middle of it, and we ourselves are just a little bit, Al, under pressure.
Okay.
So it is U.S. Open week, and we're getting there. Yep. Although the men of the PGA Tour are down in Memphis right now, let's talk a little bit about the U.S. Open. And one of these items, before we get into Shinnecock Hills Golf Club, and we talked to Mike, the historian from the USGA. Yesterday, the USGA released the tee times for the U.S. Open. And as much as those guys seem like, you know, they're not too with it or whatever, I think they actually get it sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of fun with these tee times. So I was looking through them in order to have a little conversation with you today, Al, and with all of our listeners out there, driving around thinking about golf and thinking about the U.S. Open next week. And they put together these two blockbuster threesomes. The first one that we're going to want to talk about is going to be Tiger Woods is playing with world number one golfer Justin Thomas and world number two golfer Dustin Johnson. Woods, Thomas, Johnson. As big as it gets. Huge, huge following for this group. Mm-hmm. And they are going to be on the PM AM. So they're going to play Thursday afternoon, and then they're going to play on Friday morning. Counter to that, we have another blockbuster group playing in the AM on Thursday and the PM on Friday, and that's Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and Phil Mickelson. You know, everybody wants Phil Mickelson to win a U.S. Open.
Hmm.
And, of course, Phil's been a runner-up in U.S. Opens a number of times. He's been a runner-up in U.S. Opens four times just in the state of New York. I think he'd probably be the one to vote for it not to be in the state of New York. I think he's been runner-up six or seven times, so I think it's six. So four of them have been in New York. He may be waiting till next year for when they go back to Pebble Beach. Right. But so we have McIlroy, Spieth, Mickelson, and we have Thomas, Johnson, Tiger Woods. And I think this is great. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, why for the fans that go there are they putting these huge groups together? They're going to have so many fans. I won't be able to get to see anything. Well, you got to start to think about things a little bit more globally, folks. More people are going to stream this event than are going to attend it. And if you want to stream a threesome, you've got to put a good threesome together. So you can all watch this from work, on your desktops, on your phones, everything, any place you can think of. And this is the way the USGA is thinking by putting these blockbuster groups together. And I think it's really neat that they're doing that, because now they can only stream so many of these threesomes. So they're going to have one in the morning, you can see, and one in the afternoon. And that technology is going to allow us to see some of the best golfers in the world all playing together. See, cable TV and the people that actually attend the events aren't nearly the number of people that are looking at things online these days, Al.
That's right.
You know, we have all these cord cutters and the younger crowd that is streaming everything through their tablets and through their iPhones. So I think it's really cool that the USGA is paying attention to that, and they're giving us the opportunity to see the best golfers in the world not only compete against one another, but also we get to see them at basically anywhere we are, which I think is really, really neat.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's some fun other groups that we have here. We have another group in the afternoon wave off number one. It's Sergio Garcia, John Rahm, and Rafa Cabrera Bello. And that's my running of the bulls group. All those guys are from Spain. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. We've got Zach Johnson, Charles Schwartzel, Patrick Reed. Those are all Masters champions. We've got Richie Rawenski, Roberto Castro, and Ollie Schneiderjans. Now, that one's near and dear to my heart because all those guys went to Georgia Tech. And then I've got Lucas Glover with Webb Simpson and Graham McDowell. Those are all former U.S. Open champs. And my point here is just that the USGA is doing a neat job of from the player's perspective, putting together some really, really fun groups so that these guys can have as much fun out there playing as hopefully we're going to have watching and streaming live. But speaking of the players, let's check in right now down in Memphis and see what's going on down there. Because just as of this morning, Dustin Johnson, who is the 2017 U.S. Open champ, he shot a little 63 this morning, 7 under par. And he's now leading the tournament down there at the FedEx in Memphis. Not to be outdone, Brant Snedeker, who's climbing up the leaderboard, shot a little 62 today. And everybody's favorite, Mr. Phil Mickelson, and he truly will be the crowd favorite next week when he crosses the Players' Bridge and walks towards the 10th tee on Thursday morning. Phil fired a little 66 yesterday, and he's going to play this afternoon, and he's going to know with a 62 and a 63 already out there on the board down there in Memphis, he's going to need to go low this afternoon. So if you're going to take some time off this afternoon and watch a little golf, I think you're going to get some true Phil entertainment, which is going to be really, really neat. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking about Shinnecock Hills and the venue out there, it's a really, really cool place. And one of the unique things that we want to talk about is that Shinnecock is one of the few places, and I'm sure this is going to come up with Mike a little later, Al, but I'm going to steal some of his thunder.
Yeah.
But Shinnecock Hills has hosted a U.S. Open in three different centuries.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, huh?
It is, yeah.
The only club to have done so. So they hosted the second one in 1896. And then they hosted, the next one was in 1985 there. And then they also hosted one in 95. But then they hosted one in 2004.
Hmm.
So in the 1800s, the 1900s, yep. They had two of them. And now in the 2000s, they're on their second one, having one in 2004 and now one again in 2018. And, you know, I just think it's a really, really cool venue. Shinnecock is one of the original five clubs of the USGA. I think that they're really kind of falling in love with the place and all the, you know, all of the classic nature of it. But yet in a modern world, it really shows up well on TV. And it's just a really, really, really cool place. And we're going to see a lot of different types of shots around Shinnecock, which is going to be very different than what we normally see on the PGA Tour. Or if we tuned into Memphis this week, where it's a lot of target golf, a lot of very obvious targets. When we go over to Shinnecock, you're going to see the players play almost like it's a modified version, American version of the British Open. They're going to try to use the ground to play a lot more. There's not going to be any trees out there, Al.
Right.
It's going to be all windswept land out there on the east coast of Long Island. So it's going to be really neat to watch how the players attack the golf course. We have our bombers out there. They're going to try to get really close to those greens. How are those shots going to be received? Are they going to have an advantage over some of the shorter hitters? You know, over the years, we've had guys like Corey Pavin win there in the U.S. Open. He wasn't the longest hitter in the world. So it's going to become very interesting, and it's going to create just unbelievable theater, I think, for the viewers. And a New York audience is going to show up, Al.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whether it was Bethpage or Wingfoot, the New York audience is going to be there, love them or leave them. and I love them, being a New Jersey born and bred.
Right.
They're going to be there, and they are going to make sure that all of these players feel like they're just a little bit under pressure. Did you like that tie-in?
I did.
Oh, very good. Well, before we go to break, we are sure going to hear from our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. And as a New Jersey PGA pro, that's the charitable arm of our section. And I just want to talk about what Chris Hunt and his team are doing and what they're setting up for on July 4th. They are going to make that into New Jersey Golf Foundation Day. And what that means is that a lot of my listeners are probably very familiar with Patriot Golf Day, which takes place on or around Labor Day weekend. Well, the New Jersey Golf Foundation, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, Al. And they're going to take a page out of the Patriot Golf Day book. And during the celebration of our nation's birthday, the 4th of July, we are going to have golf tournaments and run programming especially there to support and grow the reach and the reputation of the New Jersey Golf Foundation. And I know we're going to hear a little more from them in a second.
Right.
But I just want to take a second because they're such great friends of the show. And they are our major sponsors. And I just want to thank them for all they do for growing the game in the state of New Jersey. And their three pillars of golf and schools, special needs, and then the third one, which is the military. So great job to those guys at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. At this point, we're going to head out into break. We're going to hear more from them, and then when we get back, we're going to talk to Mike Trostel, the historian at the USGA.
Celebrate July 4th by teeing it up at your local golf course while supporting an incredible cause. Independence Day marks the inaugural New Jersey Golf Foundation Day, where golfers statewide will have a chance to participate in exciting events and promotions. Proceeds from the day will support the New Jersey Golf Foundation's dynamic lineup of golf programming for youth, military veterans, and individuals with special needs. Help us make a difference while positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf. For more information on NJ Golf Foundation Day, contact your local PGA professional.
Outkick the coverage!
Hey, it's Clay Travis of OutkickTheCoverage.com. I'm sure you already have a morning routine. Mine used to involve feeding children and changing diapers, but in an unfortunate twist for my wife,
ain't nobody got time for that.
I no longer have time for that.
I hate you.
Outkick the Coverage has come to your radio every weekday morning, whether you want it or not.
Weekday morning, 6 a.m.
So join us when you wake up.
This is 920 The Jersey.
Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
Stop, collaborate, and listen.
I will.
Oh, wait, wrong song. Well, you know what? We're back here at Springdale Golf Live. And you know, everybody, I am the director of fun, and we're just having a little fun here, Al and I, with our song of the week, which is Under Pressure. And we chose Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie because it's U.S. Open week out at Shinnecock Hills, and the USGA is going to put those guys under a little pressure. Now, speaking of the USGA, it's an honor and a privilege to have their historian live on Springdale Golf with us today. His name is Mike Trostel. Mike, it's Keith Stewart here at Springdale Golf Live. How are you?
Keith, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Mike, it's great to have you here. We were talking a little bit about you and being the historian and the curator of the museum up there at Far Hills, and I coined you as the Indiana Jones of golf. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, there's less, fewer whips and less running away from boulders, I guess, in my profession than Indiana Jones had. But it's a dream job, Keith. I mean, it's really so cool that, you know, I get to, you know, read more about these stories and celebrate them and bring them to people, whether it's, you know, the golf ball Francis we met and used in the 1913 U.S. Open up through Ben Hogan's one iron from 1950 to Calamity Jane, the putter that Bob Jones used to win the Grand Slam, to the three wood that Jack Nicklaus used to win all of his 18 majors. I mean, the artifacts we have in the museum and the stories that come out of it are pretty special. And I'm a lucky guy, so it's hardly work. You know, I'm out here at the Curtis Cup today at Quaker Ridge, and you know, every day I get to go out and meet some really cool people. So it's quite an honor.
Wow, that's really cool. You're live at the Curtis Cup and Quaker Ridge, one of America's great venues for tournament golf. What a great spot up there in Westchester County. But speaking of great spots for golf in New York, Shinnecock, which is no stranger to hosting U.S. Opens, and you know, one of the charter clubs of your organization, what does the USGA love most about going out to East End of Long Island and bringing their national championship to Shinnecock's golf course?
Well, Keith, I mean, simply put, it's one of the best golf courses in the world, and that's why we keep coming back here. And, you know, over the last 30 years or so, this will be our fourth U.S. Open and fifth overall here at Shinnecock. And I wrote a story for the U.S. Open program this year on the 1986 championship that was held there. And during the final round, 10 different players had a share of the lead. But asking them about that and what that was like, almost all of them to a T said, that is one of my favorite golf courses in the world. And more people that you ask about it, it's usually either number one or in their top three. They just love this course. You know, it's natural. You don't have to trick it up for it to be a really good test of golf. The wind blows. The par threes are so diverse, some of the best in the world. You know, the 11th hole is one that comes up a lot. It's under 200 yards, but doesn't need to be long to be great. A little bit like number seven at Pebble Beach.
Sure.
Beautiful clubhouse, the Stanford White Design clubhouse. You know, as you mentioned, one of the five founding clubs of the USGA. So there's a reason we keep coming back here. The players like it. You know, it's a great membership, great club, and certainly one of the best tests of golf in the world.
So we're here with Mike Trostel, USGA historian, and we're talking Shinnecock Hills, getting ready for U.S. Open week next week. And speaking of that week and this course, you know, what's different for a U.S. Open week than what the players face every other week?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think one of the things that the players get used to year over year is a lot of times they'll play the same tournaments at the same courses. They get to know the greens. They know, you know, 11th holes, a dogleg left, need to play a draw. I know this putt's going to do that. You know, with the U.S. Open, it's a little different. You need to get there early. You need to do your scouting. And you need to also, really come to grips with the fact that you're going to make some bogeys out there. That in all likelihood, 20 under par is not going to win this tournament. That you need to grind, and you need to play really well. I mean, Shinnecock itself, once again, will be a par 70. It's a little bit longer than the last time we were here, 400-plus yards longer than 2004. We'll play it at 7,445 yards. But most of that yardage is on the par 5s, 50 yards longer on number 5, 75 yards longer on number 16. But you'll see here that you don't see a lot of other places is fescue, is wind, the natural firm and fast terrain there at Shinnecock. And you'll see 156 of the best players in the world, you know, look like they want to pull their hair out every now and again. Like, they're having fun, but at the same time, it can be really challenging. And that's what we want. We want to test all 14 clubs in the bag, you know, mentally and physically. We want people walking away exhausted in a good way. And I think that's why this is a really unique week.
So you want players under pressure. Did you get that, Al?
Under pressure. You got the song right.
All right. So we do a song of the week, Mike. And every once in a while I do some singing too, which is pretty horrible. But getting back into that. So Mike Davis and his team are going to go out on a daily basis. What kind of factors are going into setting up the golf course for this kind of championship, knowing that the wind and the elements out there on the east end of Long Island are going to be such an influence on each and every round?
Yeah, I think you said it. I think the wind is such a big thing, Keith, because we've been out there. Mike Davis and Jeff Hall have been at Shinnecock for the last 3 or 4 years. So pretty much they already have an idea of what the setup team wants to do with tees and hole locations in any given round. But, for example, if we get some really windy and warm conditions, we might not be able to use a hole location because of those kind of factors. So it may need to move a couple feet either way. You know, if we see that the wind's going to be 30 miles an hour, some tees may have to move. You know, one of the unique things about Shinnecock is that no two fairways run parallel to each other. So that it makes it really difficult on the players. There's really no consistent wind or consistent feel for them out there. So I think that will be one of the more challenging things that the players will face this week. It's not like it's like St. Andrews, nine out and nine back. You know that you're into the wind and you're out of the wind, or the wind behind you. So that will be a big part of it. But what Mike and Jeff will do is is weigh those factors, you know, how much rain there is, how much wind, all those sorts of things, and move tees around accordingly, and hole locations the same.
So we're here with Mike Trostel. He's the USGA historian, and we're talking Shinnecock Hills, U.S. Open. And you made a very interesting comment right there where you said, out at Shinnecock Hills, one of the most unique things about the design and the nature of the design is that no two fairways are parallel. And being that it's a very windswept golf course, that creates quite a challenge. And in doing my homework, which wasn't very difficult for this one, I know that William Flynn is the architect of Shinnecock Hills, or one of the architects of Shinnecock Hills, but a majority of the golf course that's in play for the U.S. Open was done by him in 1931. But what's unique about that is that Springdale Golf Club, you know, the namesake for our Springdale Golf Live, and where I'm employed as their director of fun and or head golf professional, was also designed by William Flynn. And I know that my members would love to hear about some of the William Flynn tendencies that go on out there, like the non-parallel fairways that you have seen as a historian. And, you know, they could think about their own golf course, and the next time they're playing certain holes at home, they would say, well, we're just like Shinnecock, and that's pretty cool. So give us a couple Flynn insights about Shinnecock, if you could.
Absolutely. And I don't know that Flynn necessarily has too many typical things he did in his design, but one thing he did more than other architects, certainly at the time, was spend more time at his course sites than his contemporaries. He really believed that he could maximize the golfing potential of a location if the changes that he were making happened in the planning and construction phase rather than after the course opened. So Flynn was on site much more so than someone like an Alistair McKenzie, A.W. Tillinghast, Charles Blair McDonald, Donald Ross. So he spent a lot of time at his course, including Shinnecock, which, as you mentioned, he designed there in 1931. Original Shinnecock course, Willie Davis in the late 1800s, but Flynn came in 1931. And really, the course hasn't changed very much since then. You know, the U.S. Open, the 2018 U.S. Open, will essentially be the same layout that Flynn designed in 1931, which is really cool. You know, what Flynn did at Shinnecock is he did a lot of his other courses, used a lot of the site's natural features, the existing terrain, rolling hills, the, you know, created bunkers where there were some dips. He also sought to take advantage of those prevailing winds by triangulating certain groups of holes. As we mentioned here at Shinnecock, no two fairways. Run parallel. So you see that at some courses, you know, like a Cherry Hills, the Country Club up in Brookline, Massachusetts, did some collaborative work at Marion and Pine Valley. So pretty good courses that he was able to work on. And those are some of the tendencies that you begin to see. What also made Flynn really special is that, you know, each design was really individualized to the area, to the geography of where he was.
If there's so many instances of what you just spoke about at Springdale, that he used the natural lay of the land. We have a creek that runs through the golf course. It comes into play almost the whole back nine part of the front, and he just kept bringing the golf course in and around it. There's a couple fairways that are very that promote a lot of side hill lie shots, even if you're in the center of the fairway. So, you know, Flynn was quite an athlete and golfer in his own right, and he's an incredible architect. And I think we're just so fortunate as people that play at Springdale every day to, you know, play on a golf course designed by someone who has worked on places such as the Country Club or, of course, Shinnecock Hills and Marion and Pine Valley. And I'm so glad you brought up so many of those things for our listeners. A couple quick other things I want to touch on real quick before I let you go and get back to Quaker Ridge. Any special things coming up, plans by the USGA for the U.S. Open as far as multimedia goes? It's such a hot topic in sports business these days. Anything new to the app, streaming online? Give us a quick update what's going on there.
Yeah, as you mentioned, we'll be streaming on usopen.com and the U.S. Open digital app, which will be great. I mean, it's a great accompaniment for anyone who's, if you're at work on Thursday and Friday, I know I would definitely be tuning in if I wasn't out there at Shinnecock myself. Each day we'll have two featured group channels and featured holes. Those holes will be 7, 9, and 11. But the featured groups, there's some pretty good ones. Bubba Watson, Jason Day, and Brooks Koepka, along with Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and Phil Mickelson in the morning on Thursday. In the afternoon, you get the Spanish Armada of Sergio Garcia, John Rahm, and Rafa Cabrera Bello. And then probably the big one, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, and Tiger Woods in the afternoon. And Tiger playing his 20th U.S. Open at Shinnecock. He actually played his very first U.S. Open at Shinnecock back in 1995. So he'll be making his third appearance at Shinnecock. And Keith, I have a good one for you. This one, it might not rise to the level of being a marquee group, but it's one we had a pretty good time with. It's Andrew Johnston, Daniel Berger, and Kevin Chappell. So it's Beef playing with Berger. And Kevin Chappell, his connection, his bag, his sponsor on his golf bag is Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. So
oh, boy.
Beef, Berger, and Ruth's Chris all there in one. So that'll be a fun one to watch.
We were talking a lot about the tee times earlier and the groups, the Georgia Tech group, the former U.S. Open champs, the Masters champs. And, of course, I called it the running of the bulls, but you called it the Spanish Armada. All great. All right, Mike, I have one last question for you, and then I got to go. Who's going to win?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I'll tell you what, last summer, Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas played out there, and they both shot in the mid-60s, 65, and granted, I know the conditions weren't U.S. Open back then, but yeah, I think we see Ricky Fowler break through and win his first major at Shinnecock. You know, someone who's certainly very popular in the golf world. You know, he's playing well, seems like he's starting to peak, and he's been in contention for a few of them, runner-up in 2014 at Pinehurst. He was in contention on Sunday last year at Erin Hills. I think he gets the job done this week.
Awesome pick there. An awesome job. Mike Trostel, USGA historian, thanks for being with us on Springdale Golf Live. Mike, I'll talk to you soon. All the best of luck at the Curtis Cup this week, and absolutely have the best and give us the best U.S. Open the USGA could possibly give us next week. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. We will, Keith. And, you know, one last thing, that, you know, tickets are still available. It's a great Father's Day gift. You can go on usopen.com. They're not too far of a drive away. 18 and under, juniors 18 and under are free with a ticket at adults. So great to come out if you're not watching on Fox.
Thanks for bringing that up, Mike, and all the best.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Well, that was Mike Trostel there, USGA historian. You know, if you're here local in New Jersey and you've never been up to the USGA Museum and you're a golfer, you got to do it. He and his team do a fantastic job up there. The place is so cool. They have these artifacts of golf lore, and the clubs that the players use, the shoes, the pictures, they have everything. The place just smells, feels, and it just looks like golf. It's just tremendous. So that brings us to the end of our U.S. Open preview show. We will be back again next week. I'm going to be talking to someone live at the venue at venerable Shinnecock Hills. But for right now, I've got to say all my thank yous. Certainly got to thank Al across from me at the board.
You're welcome.
My Springdale Board of Governors that love what we do here on Springdale Golf Live every week. And most importantly, to our fans, Al, we love them.
We do.
We do. And hopefully they enjoyed a little bit of Queen and David Bowie today, and they could see a little golfers next week up at Shinnecock Hills under pressure.
And I want to remind all of your listeners that we here at Fox Sports 920 The Jersey will have extensive and exclusive coverage of the U.S. Open throughout the day, beginning on Thursday with the Fox anchors, and some extra coverage as well provided by Westwood One that will happen from 1 to 6 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, then again noon to 10 on Sunday, the final day of the U.S. Open.
Al, how cool is that?
You bet.
I didn't mean the information. I just meant how much you talked.
Oh, how much I talked?
Yeah.
Well, most of it was written down. That's why.
Oh, cool.
It's time to go.
Yeah, I guess it is. He's in charge of the board, so he's playing the music. That means I'm heading to Springdale and back to the three-day member guest. Where are you headed? Well, let the tower be your guide. And from Princeton to Philadelphia, and of course everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
Yes, sir.
Been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.